Old people don't need new phones.
Old people. I'm not old.
I think we're both old.
Okay. All right. Let's move on.
Okay. So we talked about Prey a couple episodes ago, and you had questions like, what do you remember about the film?
Right.
And I just wanted to follow up on that now that it's been, I don't know how long.
3 weeks,
weeks
5 weeks,
months, something like that. And for me, what I remember the most are the panoramic shots.
Oh, right.
These beautiful sweeping vistas of the plains, early morning fog and whatnot. I also remember the clever girl. I just remember her being clever.
Right.
And I remember her eyes just looking out and being defiant. The defiant look in her eyes.
Yes.
And the last thing that really stands out to me now, you know, months later, the physicality of the Predator. I remember him just being so big and physical.
I thought the Predator in this film wasn't as, I'm comparing it to the Schwarzenegger version, but he seemed far scarier to me in the original film than in this film. He seemed like he shrunk to me.
Oh, no, he definitely didn't shrink.
He was physical. No, but there was something about it, and maybe we saw more of it.
I see that because I think they make him menacing, like technologically, in one way. I mean, he's much more technologically menacing in the original.
Right.
And he's also in the trees more often.
Right. He was like more hidden. And so in seeing him and seeing him more in this film, it decreased the scary factor. It's like it seemed like we knew him. He seemed like he wasn't quite as menacing to me.
I get that. Yeah. I feel a little bit differently because like he's less technologically evolved in this one in Prey.
Mm-hmm.
And also he's just bigger and he feels like his physical presence is more. Like he was relying more on his technology in the first one.
Right.
And this one he's relying more on his physicality.
Right. And I wonder if it's because technology has come so far since the first movie. Like we're not surprised by stuff anymore like people would have been in the 80s. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. Well, I think you have to remember too. So Prey takes place 300 years before Predator does. So the Predator in Prey, this is really confusing.
Yeah, now we're going to get like crazy. This is going on.
But anyway, that Predator in the movie Prey was less technologically involved because it was 300 years before the Predator.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point. I was thinking that the movie was closer. Because, like, you know, when you watch movies from, like, the 80s and, you know, they're typing furiously and you know, everything is just, like, not necessarily how it went. You know, how technology pretty much evolved. Some of it isn't exactly the way it evolved. And so to see that stuff, sometimes it seems hokey. And so I thought,
It seemed hokey at the time, though. Here's the problem. The way Hollywood treated technology in the 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, up until, I mean, The Matrix was like one of the first movies that started to get a little bit closer to what technology actually was like.
I would agree,
But before that, they were just awful. I mean, they would throw up something on the screen that was nothing even
remotely
comparable to what was happening with computers at the time, like Jurassic Park. And they said Linux, and she said, "Oh, I know this." That was like, okay, that made sense. But then I think they immediately went into some 3D thing, which was like, no, yes, theoretically you could do that, but you would never have had that on a system like that.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
I'm sorry.
Anyway, wow, enough of that. Digress. So yeah, so that's what I remember. Like to me, he wasn't as, he was menacing, but not as, and you're right, with the physicality.
So the other thing from that movie, when you were doing the show notes, you quoted someone you thought had a brilliant quote. You said, Predator was a better action movie, but Prey was a better film.
Uh-huh.
And you attributed that to Plato.
Uh-huh.
Would you like to explain yourself on
that,
please?
Well, because I attribute everything to Plato, doesn't everyone?
No, especially.
Especially since you said it, is that why?
Yeah, you're disrespecting your co-host.
It was a joke. God, lighten up. Did you have enough coffee?
You lighten up. You know what? If you came up with lines like that, you know, then you would know how it feels.
Oh, you can't be serious.
Why would I be? You know what else isn't serious? Apparently Google.
Oh, what happened with Google?
And even worse, Meta. Oh, my God.
Oh, you Meta. Don't even get me started.
Do you know what Google Stadia is?
No, I don't pay attention to Google.
I will bet you, for about a week, 2 years ago, you probably knew what Stadia was because it was a massively huge thing for Google when they launched it a couple of years ago.
Uh-huh.
I will tell you what it is, or what it was, what it is soon to be what it was. It was an online gaming platform for Google. So, you know, do you know Xbox? Have you heard of that?
Uh-huh.
And PlayStation, have you heard of that?
Uh-huh.
So these are the nerds who live in their parents' basements or garages. You know, they get these systems and they play their video games. They shoot each other and blow mm-hmm. things up and they build castles and stuff like that, right?
Uh-huh.
Google wanted in on that console gaming market. They didn't sell a console. What they did was they created an online platform so you could stream the games from their servers onto your computer or onto your TV.
It was only for Google?
Anybody could buy it. Anybody could sign up. I think it was $14 or $15 a month.
Okay.
Which priced it out for most, you know, priced it out of the market for most
yeah.
people.
Uh-huh.
But it, you know, you could play the games everyone wants to playing. Like Destiny was, Destiny is a big shooter for both PlayStation and Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe on the PC too. I don't know. So the idea is you don't have to buy a $500 Xbox anymore. You can just sign up for Stadia and you'll play the game basically over the internet. And you can have access to all the top games.
Oh.
And that was, you know, a really big technological undertaking. And
uh-huh.
it was, you know, they were trying to jump into that very heated market.
Okay, what happened to them?
They completely failed because they just announced that they're shutting off their service.
Jeez.
For Stadia.
Why?
I guess you have to ask them why they don't, you know, why they don't want to put more effort into something that wasn't working out.
Oh, I'm not sad.
Seems like these days the big tech companies can't do anything. When's the last time Google had a big product?
I don't know. I don't follow Google since I'm an Apple person.
Here's the thing, though. You don't have to follow them. If they had a big new product, you would know about it.
Right.
You may even want to use it.
Right. Possibly. Who does anything correct or...
Corrector?
Or, you know, correct or right, that's what I was saying. You know, I mean, correct or new.
Just to analyze Google for just a moment.
Just a moment.
Their current products are, I would say, not exactly exciting. They're treading water. They don't have anything new,
uh-huh.
and they're treading water. And that seems like a bold statement, but like Google Search, this is their main product.
Uh-huh.
Their underlying started everything else. Is anyone really satisfied with search these days? Search is kind of crummy.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like searching the internet?
No.
When you're looking for something, do you find the thing you're looking for in the first page of results?
No. It's ads. It's a lot of crap. I mean, a lot of crap.
So search is not something they seem particularly strong at anymore. Gmail was their other big
right.
product. Is anybody excited about using Gmail anymore?
I don't know.
Well, there you go.
YouTube,
which they bought, but they bought and they basically turned it into a viable a platform, which is no mean feat. I think people forget before YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and actually until Google bought YouTube,
mm-hmm.
video on the internet was not a thing that was easily done. It was very difficult to do reliably.
Mm-hmm.
And YouTube made the internet so that it could do video. No problem. That's kind
mm-hmm.
of a miracle. But the current state of YouTube, it's still there. It's still solid. There's a lot of stuff on there, but it feels old. Especially in comparison to TikTok.
Well,
and to me, the vibe I get from YouTube these days is the same vibe that Flickr had just after Instagram launched. Which was feeling old and they never caught up to Instagram. And then Flickr died. I mean, it's still out there. It really is. Flickr really is still there, but nobody uses it anymore.
I don't even know what Flickr is. I don't know that YouTube feels old.
Hang on a second.
What?
You don't even know what Flickr is. Flickr was the way to share photographs before Instagram. Top site on the internet.
But you've got to understand that I was not into the internet or doing anything.
Even
on.
So, if you were on the internet and you needed to do anything with photos, it was with Flickr.
Yeah,
one point.
Yeah, I know. I've never done it.
And now it's not.
I don't think that YouTube will be going away anytime soon, but I do agree that it's changed. I know a lot of the YouTube influencers, you know, there's been a lot of changeover. I'm not sure. It's not new feeling because it's not new. I mean, put it that way. I mean, it's been around for a while.
You can keep something fresh by changing it and making it better. Like
right.
an iPhone.
Right.
Or the Google Pixel. I mean, the Google Pixel is actually the Google Pixel phones, I think, are a relative success, except that they don't make up more than 1% of the market. So even though they're doing pretty good phones that are still a little bit overpriced, at least they're good products.
Right. But back to YouTube, I just think that the shorter formats grab someone's attention faster.
You know, there's room for both. TikTok filled a gap that wasn't filled before.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the space for YouTube longer videos, by longer videos, I mean 5 to 20 minutes.
Right.
Which is still pretty short. that doesn't eviscerate that marketplace. It doesn't overtake that marketplace. YouTube still has a place to be if it wasn't feeling so old and rickety.
Yeah.
And you may not think it's going anywhere, but that's the same thing people felt like Flickr. Flickr felt like it was just a bedrock part of the internet of it from its day. And then mm-hmm. it became nothing. Instagram completely quashed it. The only other thing Google I can think of that Google has is Google Docs. And it seems to be popular with the kids in uh-huh. school.
Yeah.
But it still feels like it's for kids. It still
Google
feels
Docs,
like
yeah, I never use it.
Why would you? Yeah. Because I'm using it for the show notes maybe. But other than that, why would you use it?
Yeah. I just use Notes.
Notes is a great Apple app.
Right. Yeah.
And Meta mm-hmm. is so much worse than in Google because Mark Zuckerberg is betting the company on his VR worlds.
Mm.
Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen any of them recently.
No.
But they're genuinely god-awful. They look genuinely and he's posted stuff from it, and I can't believe that someone would actually post the content that he's posting because it looks incredibly bad. It's so bad that the developers aren't using this. This news came out last week, this past week. Developers aren't using the app that they're developing. And I was reading through this article about how the managers on the project are trying to get the people on the project to use the project. And I was thinking, well, yeah, but how bad could it really be? I mean, they may not be using it all day, but they must be using it. Well, one of the sentences in the article is, manager pleads that they use it at least once a week.
Oh, my God.
Which indicates that they're not using their own product even once a week. They're just literally not using the product that they're developing. And if the developers aren't excited about it, who the hell would be excited about it?
Yeah.
And
I'm this not is excited.
This is what Mark Zuckerberg is betting his company on.
Oh, I don't know what to say. I just wish they'd do better with security.
You said you had a friend who was hacked, whose Instagram account was hacked?
Yeah, her Instagram account was hacked. Evidently, she had two, and she was texting me. She's like, would you look on my Instagram? And I saw these like weird posts. It was like for selling Bitcoin and weird shit, and she's like, report it. And so we finally and she was locked out of both of her accounts. Like they helped her by just locking her out of both of her accounts. And she's probably not going to get it back. And you know,
so this is recent?
It was like 2 days ago. Yeah, Sunday.
I hate to say this, but a lot of that hacking isn't necessarily Meta's fault. It's usually user's fault.
If that's what someone else said, how does that work?
If you don't have secure passwords.
Oh, okay.
Or the worst thing you can do is use the same password from multiple accounts because... Oh, okay. When Medic does get hacked, you know, they download the user database.
Uh-huh.
And in that database, they have usernames and passwords. And if you use that username and password for more than one thing, or if you don't change it after someone's been hacked,
uh-huh.
that goes into a database. People download that database, and they just throw all those usernames and passwords as many different things as they can find. And the things that they usually do, they usually try big banks and big social media platforms uh-huh. because those are two things that they can derive value from.
Mm-hmm.
So pro tip is if you, especially if it's business related, something mm-hmm. that's really important to you,
right?
You have to have very secure passwords, which means you have a different password for everything and you stay on top of it. Like you log into Facebook with one password and you don't use Facebook login.
Right.
To log into everything else.
Right.
You know, it asks you, do you want to sign in with Facebook, Google, or Apple? Or at the very bottom, like small type, it says, or, you know, you will let you use an email too if you want. Mm-hmm. If you want to pretend like you're an old person. It's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm going to pretend I'm like an old person because that gives me control over the usernames and passwords and I can have a different stuff for different things.
Mm-hmm.
To follow up, over 400 apps on the Google Play Store were found mm-hmm. to be fraudulently using Google Facebook login.
Oh, wow.
So you would download, say, a weather app and it would say, hey, log in with Facebook. But it wasn't really a login with Facebook. You were just giving them your Facebook login information.
Oh, darn it. Yeah, I never logged in with Facebook when I had Facebook for the
Good.
Brief period. Yeah. Anyway.
Wow, that was such a rant.
That was such a rant. Do you feel better?
No, I feel worse.
So do you ever draw on the walls of your house? Just curious.
When I was younger, I did.
Oh. I wanted to do that during the pandemic. I was going to draw a big like calendar on my wall. I thought it would only last for a while.
And what then I was kind of crazy person would do that?
And me. And I was going to draw something like every day during the pandemic. And of course, I never did it. Because like, when do I follow through in my mind?
Catherine, when I say what kind of crazy person would do that, the appropriate response would have been, well, Mr. Doodle does.
Oh, Mr. Doodle does.
Who?
I don't know, Mr. Doodle.
Are you talking about Sam Cox?
I guess. Is that his name?
One of the most successful artists under 40 years old in the world today?
I was astonished by this. Did you know about Sam Cox before this?
A little bit. I'd seen him for a couple of years. He got kind of big a couple of years ago. 2020, I think, was his big year.
Okay.
He's a little bit like Keith Haring.
It's a lot like Keith Haring, isn't it?
I don't think I would go so far as to say it's a lot like Keith Haring. Superficially, they're similar. But they're even superficially, they're not the same. But superficially, you can see that it's kind of the same genre.
It's definitely the same vibe. Yeah, I got the same, like, I got a Haring vibe. I looked at it. At first, I thought the characters are different. But the linear quality, it was very similar to me. I thought it was a Haring.
They're both, that's really interesting because I immediately saw it very distinctly different from Haring. Mm-hmm. Because all of his work is deeply infused with political meaning.
Right.
And Mr. Doodle is basically 180 degrees from that. He's very consciously not infusing it with any political stuff whatsoever. It's just...
Right. I was just responding to the lines, like that very first, like if you look at it and you're not like discerning anything in the doodle, it had that Haring.
That's the point, though. Even there, I immediately see the difference because Haring has much more sparsely populated. And yes, you immediately see that there is a narrative to it.
Yes.
Whereas Mr. Doodle, it really is a lot more of a doodle. There are stories in there, I think. I think every little doodle may be its own little story, but it doesn't read as narrative.
No, it doesn't.
It reads more as decoration.
It's definitely decoration. And you're right, the lines are closer. There's like far less use of white space.
It's like illustrative decoration. Mm-hmm. It's like there is content there that you can kind of understand and deconstruct, but it's a doodle. Mm-hmm. But it's a doodle.
He covered every inch of his home.
Well, he bought a house.
He bought a house to doodle on it.
Is that his home? I don't know. Because it's not a place you can live in. He literally doodled over everything, which including the sinks and the stove. So you can't use a stove anymore. I don't know if it's really a home if you can't prepare a meal there.
Right.
And he's very good. I don't want to pretend like he's not doing this. He's very good at self-promotion.
Uh-huh.
He's promoted Mr. Doodle as a character who does this artwork, and his persona is a big part of his art.
I actually really liked it.
And he calls it graffiti spaghetti. I did too.
Graffiti spaghetti?
He referred to his work as graffiti spaghetti, which is very, I think, on point. And the other thing they say about him is Cox's embrace the theatrical performativity,
performativity.
Of his Mr. Doodle persona. That's a new word for me.
Performativity?
Performativity. He's a distinct redhead, curly red hair, with a beard, and he walks around in his own doodles, has a suit, a white suit with his doodles drawn all over it. So he stands out. You know, you stand out. People are going to notice you. What do you do with that celebrity? Well, you sell doodles. Seems all well in keeping.
Okay.
And I don't think he's trying to be Keith Haring, just to be, you know. Just.
No, I don't think he's trying to be Keith Haring. It just had that same quality. Because I always liked Keith Haring's work. I love it.
Yeah, you can't deny the superficial similarity.
No.
But past that, it's very different.
Did you find yourself wanting to color in the doodles?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he does have some color that he has some paintings and some places that he's done color, but almost in the house. And a lot of his work is black and white.
Black and white.
I find that to be a little bit restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
And his color work, to me, seems a lot more interesting. But even just the black and white, he activates every surface, which makes it probably kind of an unlivable house to live in, right?
Could you wake up and look at this every morning?
It's nice. It's interesting. I don't know if I would want to live there.
It's visually overstimulating. Like, I would feel, like, vibratory to look at these lines all the time.
On the other hand, it's almost like Rococo. It's so overdone and so activated that I can't say that it falls in the background, but it's at least even.
Right.
He has a nice even treatment to it. So it's almost like a wall treatment or an aesthetic treatment.
Right.
But it does make me think, if I could add a little bit to my house, like if I could do that just to my trim, my molding, have a little bit of doodle, because that would activate it, make it look a little bit.
That would be so much fun. Are you going to do that?
I don't know. Maybe. I have to talk to my wife about it first.
I found myself wanting to doodle on my walls.
Oh, and I really can't get past this without mentioning that he not only painted the house, but he also had an amazing documentary of him painting the house. It's not a documentary, it's a film.
Mm-hmm.
And the film isn't just showing him painting the house, but it's a work in and of itself because it's basically a performance.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he does it, it's a brilliant piece. We'll have a link to the video.
Okay.
it's definitely worth watching. It's only a couple minutes, but he packs a lot in there. And it's very clear that he's doing his doodles, but he's also very aware of creating this video for it. Mm. It's like a artwork of an artwork.
I didn't see that. Where was that? That wasn't embedded, was it?
Well, some of us did our homework.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things that he's known for. Mm. So I found it.
No, I liked it. I liked it. And just the whole painting of it reminded me of that Ukrainian artist. Hmm.
I'm surprised by that because I don't see that.
Polina Rako that we talked about several months ago. You know, the only similarity was that they both painted their houses. I mean, they just both, you know, took it out. Ceilings, walls, everything. And that was the only similarity because her work was not something you liked and it was very much different.
But. So I think it's a genuine question, though, if mm-hmm. Mr. Sam Cox here, mm-hmm. a.k.a. Mr. Doodle, is an artist. Is this mm-hmm. artwork?
Why wouldn't it be?
It's pretty superficial.
Right.
It's pretty shallow.
So Keith Haring, what differentiates him in terms of like the doodle-ish quality? Just the political statements, the undertones?
Well, it's not because it was a political narrative. It's because it was a narrative combined with the aesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a whole trope, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
That he had developed with that language. So you could look at the work and you could start to feel things.
Right.
And you could understand it. And it also spoke very, I think, very much of the time.
Right. It did. With this, what I thought instantly when I said, did you find yourself wanting to color it in? Remember several years ago, the big push for like adult coloring books?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded me of. Like I thought, oh, this is like great grist for the mill for an adult coloring book. It'd just be fun to fill in those spaces. Like I would want to go into his house after he was done and take a wall.
Well,
and
you
just
could, I'm sure
you,
I'm sure he'll sell it to you for $10 million.
Probably. But it reminded me of that. And so is that art?
Coloring books? No, I don't think coloring books is art.
But a lot of the illustrators were getting all kinds of cred, you know, creating for them. You know, there were several people drawing.
Well, they're still drawings. Yeah, they're drawing. So that can be art. And you can be coloring in art. And why would you not color? Why wouldn't you pick?
Right.
If you had the choice between picking just a pretty banal illustration or a beautiful piece of artwork to mm-hmm. fill in the and colorize, choose the artwork.
Well, that's what it reminded me of. So, so is his work art? I would say, yeah. Why not?
I'm going to say yes, too, but I don't know if it's a fair judgment because it shortcuts my brain and I just see the doodle so much. And I used to doodle a lot more, but I'm kind of a doodler.
Right.
You know, my history teacher in high school came by and looked at my notes page one day and said, James, you take bad notes, but you do amazing doodles. Those are the best doodles I've ever seen, but your notes are terrible. It's like, well, I can do doodling or I can take notes. I can't do both.
Aw. Obvious. Yes, it's art.
Well, I don't know if it's obvious, but I'm going to give it a pass.
Yeah, we'll give it a pass.
Wild guy in England
mm-hmm.
who died, and nobody knew about his painted house until after he died. He kept it a secret.
I thought that was really sad.
So this is Ron's house from, I think, England. Ron's house. Turns out this guy had been painting his rented flat for decades.
Right.
And one room had actually a sculpted head of a minotaur. Another one had a sculpted, and not small, like,
mm-hmm.
6 feet tall and probably 4 feet wide and jutting out from the wall another 4 or 5 feet.
Right.
Kind of dominates the room a little bit. And then he has the walls covered in different types of ancient art. Some is more Greek, some is more Victorian. I don't know. Something else. It spanned a lot of different types
of art. Yeah, it was supposed to span all different kinds of historical eras.
Well, mostly Western.
Mostly Western. I liked the Minotaur.
I thought the Minotaur was pretty bad, actually. It was kind of muddy, and the sculpture was okay-ish.
Yeah, what's in the Minotaur's mouth on top of the tongue?
Well, I don't know. I guess I didn't look that closely. But he also did a lion, same size, you know, this oversized lion head, and I thought the lion head was a lot more successful. Like, wow, that's actually pretty good.
Now, yeah, the Minotaur was, there was something about it, because I think it looked like it had human teeth to me.
Well, it's a minotaur.
I know, but the teeth are so obviously human.
Well, it's a minotaur.
I know, but do they always have human teeth? I didn't know that.
Okay, first of all, minotaur is not a real animal.
I know. Do they have human teeth?
Okay. So it depends on what your imagination sees when you think of a minotaur as to what kind of teeth it has.
Okay. Because it looked like human teeth.
I mean, it's so funny listening to nerds argue about stuff that doesn't actually exist. Whether, well, that's not realistic. Like,
I know, right?
All these nerds are getting upset that the new Lord of the Rings
show
that Amazon's doing is like, oh, it's totally unrealistic that they'd have black elves. Why would that be unrealistic? I mean, elves are what color in nature?
Right.
Oh, and they all got upset about the black mermaid.
I know. What was that? That was so silly.
No, there's someone like, I think it was on Fox News, who literally says, well, it just, what was his quote? He said along the lines of, well, it's just not realistic to think that a mermaid would be black.
Oh,
it's not realistic. I don't know if you've actually looked at fish, but they literally come in every color.
Right.
Except white. Like, what fish is white? Yeah, there are a few lighter colored fish, but they're usually gray.
Mm-hmm.
And an orca is both white and black, but it's mostly black.
Right. Yeah, so they just got to have something to bitch about.
No, it's just they say things like that. It's like, it's not realistic. What do you mean it's not realistic? This, A, we're talking about a fictional character, mm-hmm. something that does not exist.
Right.
And B, look down under the water and tell me where you see the white fish. The pink fish. Where do you see that? So what's more realistic? It's more realistic that you'd be orange with black stripes.
Oh,
what
I know.
What were we talking about? Ron's house?
Yeah, Ron's house. You didn't like it.
I didn't like it because the artwork, it was childish. I'm getting kind of tired of this. I'm getting kind of tired of looking at sixth grade level art covering a house. Because if you really cared, mm-hmm. you could, anybody can spend the time
mm-hmm.
with a little bit of effort and research, because just painting and drawing,
mm-hmm.
you can only get so far. You really have to do a little bit of art education.
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at how people actually learn how to draw properly. Otherwise, you're going to fill into the same ruts and the same blind spots that everyone has. But
right.
if you get a teacher or you read a book about how to learn how to draw and how to learn how to paint,
mm-hmm.
you can get past those and you can paint really well if you really try. So that's one of the things that bothers me about this, you know, quote, outsider art, is that it's an effort that isn't all the way. They don't take it all the way. It's like, it's more of a hobby. It's like a level, it's like on the level of a hobby. Like, they want to do it, but they're not so interested.
They're not committed. Yeah.
They're not committed.
I see that. And yeah, I would tend to agree, because it would take that extra step. No, I do agree, because there was like a flat quality, but I thought, gosh, I mean, they're gonna have to paint over that. That's some damage. I mean, that rented flat,
yeah.
right? I mean, that's some.
I don't know if you could rent it out the way it is now.
No, I wouldn't want to live there.
That being said, I wouldn't want to be the one to paint over it.
How would you do that?
I don't know. I don't know how I'd feel. It really would be an interesting experiment to send me over there and pay me to paint over it, because I couldn't destroy all of the sculpture and I couldn't paint over all the painting.
Right.
But I certainly could paint over a lot of it, I think. Mm. But I don't know unless I was there.
It just seemed, from the brief video that was embedded in the article, that he probably had a lot of fun. But they said that he never had family over. No one knew this was happening.
It was a secret until after he was dead and they had to come and clear out the flat.
I wonder what that was about.
It seems a little rude, too. If I'm renting you a house, don't do that to my house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just not, that's not polite.
No, it's not.
That's not good manners. I expect more from the English.
Yeah, I just don't know the shock that someone would have experienced walking into
wow.
that place.
Yeah, it's like, what?
It's like, what the
hell?
What
is going on here?
It's like, and we haven't been here for like, how long did he live there?
I don't know,
years?
Decades. I mean, yeah,
yeah,
it's like that must have been
something.
A really good landlord to not ever bother you at all.
Right? I mean, never came in. No one ever knew. His family didn't know. And like, did he just stay in there and paint all day?
No, I mean, this is over the course of decades, so.
It actually kind of made me sad.
You gotta pace yourself.
Gotta pace yourself over the decade.
I mean, it's not that big of a flat.
No,
apartment.
No. I don't know.
I guess it's a small house, though.
I don't think I would paint things like that on the walls. I've thought about it. It would probably turn out looking like that.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I think it would be a lot better. Well, I mean, it would be spookier because there'd be human body parts all over the place.
No, spookier. Speaking
and skulls, of skulls, probably.
So you kind of lump him into the same category as Paulina Rako, like
right.
self-taught hobbyist on the wall.
Who go a little crazy about, you know, painting everything in their house.
Right. It would have been interesting to talk to him about like his motivation, like why those eras, like what was he going for?
I'm not that interested in it.
Okay. I was mildly interested. Yeah, I was interested. I would have liked to have seen Did he paint the ceilings too? I can't remember. There were yeah, they always go for the ceilings.
You know, if you're crazy, the ceiling is crazy too. It probably starts at the ceiling. Yeah, they have there were
probably
some like
at the ceiling.
Aqua scenes where they had fish and frogs and stuff, and they were painted up and through and over in the ceiling.
Right.
Yeah, it's just funny, these two guys, these two English guys, maybe it's an English guy thing, maybe it's a European thing, they just paint their whole houses. Mr. Doodle, you know, did that very intentionally. He bought a house. He bought a house. But he did it, I think, a lot more intentionally. I think he intends this to be a work of art, which he can probably resell at some point for a, you know, considerably higher than its street value.
Right, or just open it up to the public and charge admission to walk through it.
You could do that, too. It was a nice looking house, though.
Right.
I like the house.
What? Yeah, I actually liked the stove and like how he had done it all over everything. I mean, it was just like,
well, that's not very practical. Like I said, that's not practical.
No, it wasn't practical. And they're like, oh, did your wife know or something? He's like,
and
no.
If I live there, I might have to put on sunglasses or something just to walk to the bathroom.
Yeah, they didn't show the bathrooms, did they?
They didn't. Absolutely. They absolutely did.
Oh, they did?
Then that might not be another problem. Everything is basically camouflage because everything is covered in the same thing. So I would be concerned about actually finding the toilet and hitting it. That could be a problem.
Oh, gosh. Anyway. Well, when you do your doodles, we'll do a little segment on your doodles.
Oh, actually, I thought we would do a little segment on the Halloween t-shirt that we have.
Oh, we do have a Halloween t-shirt.
Assuming this podcast comes out before Halloween, which is a pretty big assumption, we put up a Halloween t-shirt of Catherine's artwork. Skull shirt.
Just a little skull.
You can go find that on our TeePublic site.
And they run sales pretty frequently, so.
And don't worry, you don't have to buy more than 10 or 20 or 30 of them.
Right. One in every size. Yeah, thanks for publishing that, James, because I wouldn't have
known how to get it. Yeah, that was a pain in the neck.
It was?
Yeah, and this is another reason why I don't think you need a new phone, is because the most important thing about being a photographer is understanding the camera.
Okay.
And you can put a $10,000 camera in the hand of an amateur, and you're not going to get better photos.
So what'd I do wrong?
I had to do a lot of work to get it to the point where I could use it. And I'm not sure now. I don't know how good those t-shirts are going to be.
Well, I will buy one today. We'll fill you in. Well, hopefully this gets out before Halloween.
Again, I'm still a little bit angry about the Play-Doh thing.
Well, I apologize if that really hurt your feelings.
It wasn't Play-Doh. It wasn't Play-Doh.
It was Play-Doh.
Play-Doh.